Could we have everybody take their seats so we can get started? We're just going to, we will have plenty of time to do the assurance after we handle the business that we need to take care of. Business. Could I get a show of hands of who has never been to a Trilogue meeting before? No, there is no window of newness. I'm sorry. Nor a window of lewdness. All right, those of you who raised your hands validly, you have 10 seconds to attack the pizza first. 10, 9, 8, 7. We're not kidding. All right, everybody, have at it. Okay, now that everyone mostly has their pizza, let's do a little number we call have a job, need a job, or need a job, have a job, depending on if you're dyslexic or not. Yeah, Kevin is announcing a new traffic planner position open starting today because the old one has been sacked, and I-40 will be widened further. Anyway, so does anybody need a job?
So what am I supposed to say? Say who you are, what you're looking for, when you're available. What I can do? All right. Hello, my name's Alex Wexler. Is that working?
Now it is.
Now it is? One, two, oh, well. Alright, hi, my name is Alex Wexler. Been working with Unix, Linux for about 12 years, and, have my RHCE. Currently live in the Triangle, work in RTP, and, just looking for a little bit of a change. So, as far as what skills are, I'm looking basically for development or sysadmin type of positions. Anything else? That's good. Thank you.
My name is Aaron Henderson, and I've been using Linux, Unix for about 15 years now, and I'm currently looking for a sysadmin position. So I live in the area, and so I'm open to any offers.
Anybody else needing a job? All right. Who knows of a job? Knows of a job that's available? I know RPath is looking for a system administrator, doc writers, and Python programmers. And distro engineers. What that means is somebody who's able to manage the production and release of an entire Linux distribution. If you think you can fill Michael K. Johnson's shoes, let us know. Anybody else know of positions that are available?
CSE is looking for people who know business objects and people who know documents. So if you know business objects or documents, I guess just email kevin@sony.com and I'll pass it on to the right people.
Thanks, Kevin. Anybody else? Future self looking for cheap labor. Anybody else?
Let's see. Now, this is up on a public website, but I happen to see it on the board. The University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, the reference library is looking for an applications analyst, Skills include XHTML, CGI, Perl, PHP, yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, unc.edu, click on employment, you should be able to find it there.
Okay, so let me give you a rundown of the remainder of the meeting. First off, we're going to hear from our sponsor tonight, which is Eastern Carolina University, and David Harrowood. And after David, we're going to, while David is speaking, we're going to be passing out ballots for our elections today. If you have your Trilog card, please have it out and available. It'll speed things up. If not, don't worry, we can look you up on our list. And now, after David is finished, we're going to hear from our candidates. Jason's not here, but then we'll hear from Chris, Cristobal, Matt Fry, Jason Faulkner, Rick De Natale, John Broom, and then David Brendlinger, in that order. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for your time tonight. I will not take long. My name is David Harrowood. I represent East Carolina University. We have a distance education program there, and we have started doing a Red Hat Academy on distance education. We're setting up a RHCT class to start later this month. We plan to have an RHCE class after the first of the year. This is distance ed. You can take it at your pace. Take it at home. You don't have to lose a week at work to go take it. And at the moment, it is moderately priced. So I have some information with me for those of you that have interest in certification. Our facilitator is the current RHCE. Right now we're looking at starting this class May 22nd and finishing it with an RHCT exam on campus at East Carolina University, July the 17th. For those of you that don't venture far out of the triangle, East Carolina is about an hour and 20 minutes east. It's not a big drive. It's not a hardship. You know, I drove up here after work today. Okay? Are there any questions at this time? In the back. Yes, sir. Except for the final exam. I think you're going to have to go to East Carolina or make arrangements with the instructor. I am not the instructor. At this time, that's the way it's scheduled. Right, so it's one trip to Greenville on July the 17th. The exam is from 10 till 2. Yes, ma'am. You're going to have to talk to Lee about that. I don't throw that kind of weight with the university. I just work there. I wish I could tell you. It's a good opportunity to get certified. Once again, it is distance ed. You are positioned to do it at home at night. It's far less expensive than taking a week off work if your boss won't pay for it. We've structured this to cost $1,600 for the total. Okay? And I'm going to leave a handful of these handouts up here. Anybody that needs one can get one. It's got an email address on it. Send me an email, and I will forward your email to our distance ed group. They'll email you back with a link so you can register. You can put this on your credit card, you know, however you want to do it. Okay? Yes, sir.
I started paying attention late.
That $1,600 part got you, didn't it?
Is this an ongoing thing or is this a one-time?
This is the first time we've done it on a distance ed, but we plan to do it again. We plan to do it several times a year. Right now we're doing the RHCT exam, the technician exam, and we plan to do the engineer exam after the first of the year.
I'm from Florida. Is there in-state, out-of-state issues?
No. This is a continuing ed. There are continuing education credits. This is not a curriculum course. As far as I know, there is no issue with that. Of course, I'll be wrong just as soon as I say something like that. Yes, sir. If you have enough experience, I don't think so. You may want to contact the instructor and sort that out, but I don't think so. Further questions, comments? Once again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thanks a lot. Got some flyers on the desk up here. Pick five people out of the list, please. You are choosing 5 out of the 7 on the list, please. Do we want to do speeches? Oh, yeah. I don't either. Matt Fry has a quick announcement to get the microphone the hell away from me.
This is not my my steering committee speech. Well, all right. I would like to announce, and some of you have heard this already, that the open barbecue will be held this year. Jeez. And now to Kevin. No. Open barbecue, open jam will be held at Rub Smokehouse in Morrisville on June 17th from 10:30 a.m. till sunset. There'll be barbecue, beverages, soft and beer-like beverages. There will be side dishes. And I just relaunched the website today with an entirely new design, multi-page design. So go to openbarbecueopenjam.org, and you can see the information there. Pricing is more or less to be determined, but Stan Briggs and I will figure that out in the next day or so. And if you have any questions, you can email us, matt@openbarbecueopenjam.org or stan@openbarbecue.org. It's BBQ, incidentally, openbbqopenjam.org, for more information. So, does anyone have any questions so far? Stan. I don't know, will it? www.oboj.org. Stan's the web guy. Right, they're both .orgs. Did you fix the alias I told you about today? Awesome. Okay. So W is not required, but optional. I don't know. Was there one? I doubt it since it's running on Fedora. Anyway, thanks for your attention. Hope to see you at Rubs on the 17th of June, and there's a map, Google Maps link on the website, so you should be able to figure out how to get there. See you then.
Thank you, Matt. All right, we're going to introduce the candidates, those who are here. Jason Tower is our normal MC. He has been called away because of a family emergency, so he's not here this evening. and I'm not going to fill in for him. Let me quickly introduce our current steering committee. There's me. I'm Joseph Tate, the Trilog PR guy, and or I should say the outgoing Trilog PR guy. Sorry, I'm not running. I'm not running again. You could. It would be pointless. It would be a fruitless effort. I promise. I have a one-year-old son who would probably disagree with that. Yeah, you could write him in. He'll probably be as effective as I was. All right, so we have Kevin Audie, our outgoing system administrator, Cristobal Palmer, who is our current vice chair, and John Broom, who is our current treasurer slash secretary slash peon. Gopher boy, soda boy. All right, so our first candidate who is present, remember Jason's not here, is Cristobal Palmer. I'll give him a few minutes to introduce himself.
Wait, I get to shoot myself? Is that what I get to do? Oh, all right. Well, my name is Cristobal Palmer. I'm an information and library science student at UNC. I got elected to the steering committee by default, if you guys remember. Since then, I've learned a lot, both about how Trilog works and about how the cluster works, and I've gotten a lot more involved. I actually have a job working with Linux daily now. So I feel like I'm more qualified than ever, and I'm definitely more enthusiastic than ever to be on the steering committee and help out with the lug. So who's up next? Anybody?
Matt
Fry.
Matt Fry.
Here he comes.
He was snarping.
Hello, my name is...
If you follow the list, you've seen my posts about the things I've done and plan to do for the steering committee. If you haven't, real briefly, I have experience being on steering committees. I was a chairman of the steering committee for NCSA, North Carolina Sysadmins, for a couple years, and got a lot of experience in organizing nonprofit organizations. but I'm definitely a motivated person, and so I've got some ideas of things we might improve services, and I'm dedicated to the user group. So if you come every month, you probably see me just about every month. Sometimes work keeps me away, as in the past year, but in any case, that's about all I have to say. I said everything pretty much already, so both of me.
Free beer.
Free. Yeah, right.
You're right.
Only when I present.
Oh, right. All right, Jason.
My name is Jason Faulkner. I'm 21 years old. I'm a NC State student. I'm studying science, technology, and society, and I'm also the sysadmin for Broadwick Corporation. I'm interested in running for the steering committee because I have a lot of experience volunteering with open source advocacy groups, such as I was a member of the OpenOffice.org marketing project, and I'm now the East Coast press rep for the Open Document Fellowship. And I hope to take that knowledge that I've gotten advocating open source and open standards and pull it into Trilog, and hopefully to pull more people from the outside into our group here and help it continue to grow as it has in the last year since I've been in here. So.
Hi, I'm Rick DiNatale. I'm a wise guy, first of all. I've been a Trilog member for a couple of years now. I'm an old gray-haired retired programmer. Pardon me, it's a piece of pizza stuck in his throat. And I've gotten a lot out of this organization. And you know, if you guys want me, I'm willing to try to pay some of that back. I've got quite a bit of experience on committees and whatnot. I'm a retired IBMer, 31 years, spent a lot of time in standards groups and things like that. So I know what committee meetings are like, and I guess I'm dumb enough to not mind doing some more of them. I'd just like to see Trilog do more, hopefully bring back or resurrect some of the things that we've done in the past, like the weekend tutorial sessions and things like that. And I'm here if you want me. That's all I can say.
Hi, guys. I'm John Broom, your current treasurer. So far, I think I was elected last May. I don't think I was a midtermer. I have provided you all with soda, made sure checks to our pizza picker-uppers don't bounce and that they're here, make pretty spreadsheets and graphs for the end of the year to tell you where the money went for Trilog. And if you vote for me, I can stay treasurer and the steering committee won't have to go to the bank to fill out another signature card. So, John Broom, thanks.
Hello, my name is Dave Berlinger. First thing, I want to thank everybody that's here because it's all about the members. And I've got a lot from Trilog. This is my opportunity to give back. I've been in IT for about 18 years. I belong to currently 4 user groups. So, among other things, I belong to the Novell user group, NC Sysadmin, the Tripug, Trilog. One thing I want to do is it's all about the people that are here, and I want to listen to people, and that's what I want to do. Because it's all about people. It's all about learning new things. It's all about resume builders. It's emerging technologies, SAN, NAS, firewalls, things we haven't been covering. One thing I'd like to bring in is, like, the Novell users group, they put things on video, and they're putting them out on the web to try to gain more attention, to get more people in. And some things that I get from the other groups, I'd like to, if I'm elected, I would like to bring in. And I just want to thank everybody. Thank you.
All right, thank you, everybody. If you do not have a ballot, raise your hand so we can get one to you. If you don't have a ballot and are a member, Chris, I got a stack of them. And anybody else? All right. Kevin and I will be collecting and counting the ballots since we're not running, and we will announce results at the end. At this time, we'd like to turn the time over to Tanner. We just don't want any hanging chads. Just circle the names or put a star by them or check them. Well, actually, checking them is bad, but put a star by them or circle them. That won't work, probably. All right. Well, Cristobal can help you with the new ballot, I suppose. Who, me? You can't. You're running in the election. Vote for 5. Vote for 5. All right, Tanner? Tanner.
Give it up, Chris. Yeah. Okay, is that better? All right, I'd like to welcome everybody to the Windows User Group meeting. That joke's long. Why did you go there? Whatever you do, please don't vote for me. Okay, so before this meeting was announced, and or before you came here, how many people here knew anything about CA Cert? Well, that's good. How many people knew nothing about it? How many people just showed up and still don't know anything about it? How many people brought your forms to be assured tonight? All right. Way to go. All right, so a little logistics stuff. After the talk, we're going to be setting up in the back there. There's a table on the side. There's three of us, myself, Kevin Sunny, with his hand up, Brian McCullough. Raise your hand, Brian. Right there. And we're going to be assuring people back there after the talk. Okay, so here's our outline for the talk today. How many people here know much about SSL? A few, okay, good. Well, then I will just skim through what is SSL and why do we need it. We're going to talk about what exactly is a certificate authority, and there cover what is CA Cert. And we're going to talk about how CA Cert verifies identity, how we use CA Cert, and thanks to the graciousness of the current sysadmins before they get voted out, we're actually going to attempt to set up the Trilog server with an SSL certificate from CA Cert live here. So we'll see how that goes. And then we'll have the mass assurance afterwards. So here's your basic how does the web work. The web is a client-server architecture. Doesn't have any verification or encryption in the standard model. You have a client here who makes a request to the server. Here he's asking for the website or the web page index.html. Server over here figures out what to do and gives back index.html. It's extremely simple, and that's why it's so powerful. Now, there are some problems with this. For one, just anybody out there can listen in to what you're doing. You can have eavesdroppers. What's worse, though, you can also have people that sit in the middle of your connection. So when you request index.html, it may pass it along to the server, and the server sends back index.html, but when it changes it or gives you back something completely different, or, worse yet, it can actually modify what goes that way. So, say, hey, this is actually telling your bank, I want to transfer $1,000 to this bank account. He could change it to his bank account. That's bad, obviously. So, and for those of you who have seen the news today, I added this afternoon. I'm not sure if you can read this, but this says, National Security Agency, 1984, we're behind schedule. Although they seem to be catching up. I voted, it's fine. All right, so two things mainly that SSL or encryption gives you on the web or on the internet. First of all, it gives you encryption of traffic so that your eavesdropper here now he can still listen, but instead of actually hearing intelligible stuff, all he gets is noise. And the noise isn't all that useful in and of itself. It also allows you to verify identity. So now, when you request something from server, you can have a good deal of assurance that it is actually server you're talking to, rather than the evildoer there. So, this leads us into what exactly is a certificate authority, because how do we actually do this verification? Well, a certificate authority is a trusted third party that checks your identity, and then based on that identity, it vouches for the web server. Basically, what it does is the certificate that the web server presents to you gets signed by the certificate authority saying, and that's how the certificate authority says, okay, I believe this to be a true trilog.org web server. Because of the way digital signatures work, it's almost impossible for that to be faked, so that's how you can get a good assurance that it is that particular website. There are some more complications there that you can talk about later at the TriChug stuff if you want, but that's the basic idea. And the way that you can check the signatures that of the certificate authority is that the root certificates of the certificate authorities are installed by default in your browser. And there's a whole bunch of them. We have here VeriSign, Thought, but you didn't know GoDaddy was actually had a root certificate installed. Let's take a look actually here at what some other root certificates are installed here. How many people want to guess how many root certificates are installed in the Firefox 1.5?
30.
Who said 40? You're almost right, 39. So people like ABA Ecom Inc., who I've never heard of. There's AOL Time Warner. Baltimore Cybertrust Root. Intrust.net, Equifax, GTE. Do you trust GTE? Quo Vadis. I mean, most of these stuff I've never heard of. There's the GoDaddy group. Valicert Visa has one. VeriSign has a lot. And somebody called Be Trusted. What? Well, the way all of this stuff gets in to the browser is, with Microsoft, they pay Microsoft a lot of money and present them with a certificate that says they've been assured by somebody else that they are okay. Firefox, for a long time, didn't have any policy. They have recently come up with a policy, and CA Cert is trying to go through the process of it. They aren't there yet. Okay, so what exactly is CA Cert? CA Cert is a community-driven certificate authority. That is, it is a certificate authority like all of the ones we just looked at that can sign certificates. The main difference is it's not included in the browsers by default, and you have to do an extra step to include it. However, it is included in lots of actually different things. Let me see if I can actually stop that. Here is the list of what it's included in. It's included by default in FreeBSD, Canopix 3.8, Debian, Gentoo, CentOS, and a few others. It's not quite yet in Mozilla or Fedora. although it has been requesting inclusion in Mozilla since August of 2003. So this is actually one of the oldest bugs there is, at 63 votes, 107 subscribers. Its primary goals are inclusion into the mainstream browsers and to provide a trust mechanism to go with the security aspects of encryption.
Yeah. What does it mean that it's included in the distro? It doesn't throw an error?
Distros like Debian or Gentoo,
yeah,
when they compile Firefox, they actually add the CA Cert root certificate into it so that when you load up Firefox by default on that distribution, it already includes it, and you don't have to go through the separate step of loading the root certificate.
There are, when you get the Open SSL library, usually in like user share SSL certs, there's a set of CAs in there as well, and that's where it's in distro, that's what's in there. only OpenSSL library can then read those CAs.
There was somebody else in the back there that had their hand up. No, okay. Okay, so this trust mechanism they mentioned, well, how do they go about verifying your identity? That's what we're going to try and do here tonight. This is called the CA Cert Assurance Program. It's an identity verification program where there's three ways of doing it. You can either meet with a CA Cert Assurer, which is what we're doing tonight. You can go through a trusted third party. That is, you can have a notary public take a look at your ID, fill out a form verifying that, and you can send it to CA Cert, which is located in Australia, and get verified that way. Or you can also be a notary for another authority. Thought verifies identities the same way, and if you're a notary in the Thought authority, you can get reciprocal status in CA Cert. I believe that's how Brian got assured for CA Cert. When you are assured, it's not an all or nothing thing, because that's too limiting. Instead, what they have is a point system. 0 to 49 points is considered unassured. So you need to get at least 50 points before you are considered to be assured. Once you reach 50 points, then you can generate client certificates and get your full name on them. You can generate server certificates, valid for up to 24 months, and you can get your GPG key signed by CA Cert. Once you reach 100 points, then that's actually normally the maximum available through being assured by somebody, although tonight we have a special exemption, and I'll talk about that later. But that's usually the maximum available, and you can then apply for code signing cert. That is, you could have your certificate to sign Java jars that you make, and you can go through the process of assuring other people. Once you reach 150 points, you are considered to be fully assured, and you can grant the full 35 points, which is normally the most that you can grant at one time, except for in special big events where you request it beforehand, which we have done tonight. In that case, you can be granted a temporary increase to 200 points, and thereby becoming what's called a super assurer. And the only thing about a super assurer is it lasts for one event, and it allows you to grant 150 points, up to 150 points immediately. So since we have three super assurers here tonight, what we're actually going to do, 150 points is the maximum. We decided that if you bring two forms of photo ID, then each one of us will assure you for 50 points, thereby giving you the full 150. If you bring only one photo ID and one non-photo ID, we're each going to give you 40 points, giving you a total of 120, which is still fully assured, but you're not up to the full 150 yet, and so I'll talk about how you can do that here. So if you have 100 points, like I said, you can assure others and issue points to them. Each time you do an assurance, you get 2 points. So for the people who don't have two photo IDs tonight, we'll end up with 120 points. What you need to do then is find 15 people and assure them, and then you're up to 150 points. The maximum number of points you can issue depends on how many points you have. So if you get up to 100, which is normally the most you can get for the Web of Trust, you can issue 10 points. If you go out and certify 5 people, 2 points each, you move up to 110 points, and you can issue 15 points, et cetera. 120 is 20, 130 is 25, 140 is 30, and 150 is 35. So normally it takes 3 assurers to get you up to 100 points. Tonight we're going to get you up to 120 or 150 based on what you brought. Any questions? Wow, I thought this was the complicated part. Okay, so how do I use CA Cert? All right, well, the first thing we need to do before before doing anything else, is install the CA cert root certificate. Unless, of course, we're on Debian, Gentoo, FreeBSD, or one of the other ones that has already done it beforehand. So let's go ahead and do that. I do not have CA cert root in my browser right at the moment. So let's click over here. This is the CA cert website. Over on the side here, it says join CA cert, join root certificate. You click on root certificate. You'll notice here they have class 1 PKI and class 3 PKI. You really don't need to know about this. Just know that class 1 PKI is a superset of class 3, so class 3 is more stringent. They did this because the class 3 certificate has a better chance of getting into the major browsers, because it's more stringent about what it accepts. But here, click here if you want to import it into Microsoft Internet Explorer. We don't. And then it has PEM format and DER format. What Firefox uses is PEM format, and all you need to do is click on it. But before I do that, actually, there we go. That'll work. Notice down here we have the fingerprint. That's the fingerprint of the certificate. We want to make a note of that. So click the root certificate format, PEM format here, and it comes up a window. It says, you have been asked to trust the new certificate authority. Do you want to trust the CA cert signing authority for the following purposes? Trust the CA to identify websites, trust it to identify email users, or trust it to identify software developers. That corresponds to server certificates, client certificates, or code signing certificates. Before we actually click these and say okay, you need to click the view button to examine the CA cert certificate. And then it'll come up here with a whole bunch of stuff. Common name, CA cert signing authority, organization, root CA, gives their website, et cetera, et cetera. Let's look down here at the fingerprint though. We need to make sure that this fingerprint here matches this one. So if we look at it, does it actually match? And yes, it does. All right, so based on that, we can be pretty sure that this is the correct CA cert root certificate. So now, that is a good point. What if you are visiting the wrong website? You can go and look for the fingerprint at a bunch of different places. I'm sure it's posted at various different mailing lists and stuff. I'm not sure if you can get it on a coffee mug or not. You might be able to.
That was an expense. They were handing it out on coffee mugs, but they were calling them coffee carrying assurance devices.
Ah, okay. So you can. I mean, check. Make sure you check it in multiple different places if you're really paranoid. But for the purposes of tonight, we're going to trust it, and I set it up to accept it for server, client, and code signing certificates. That is correct. Because they are a root, there is no one above them. Now, let's see if we can take a look and see if it's there. These certificates, authorities. And it should be under root CA. Here we go. CA cert signing authority. All right, we successfully imported the class 1. Let's go ahead and import the class 3. Now notice there is no fingerprint for this, but if you click view on this one, it says this certificate has been verified for the following uses. Now how do you suppose that Firefox decided that? It was signed by the one you just imported, correct. All right, since Firefox already verified that, we can go ahead and trust it too. And if we look again, yep, here is the previous one, and then there's the class 3 root. Okay. So that's That's installing the root certificate. Now, how do we get our certificate? Well, let's see here. Let's go for the client certificate first. That is, since that's easier to do. Go over here, log in. I'm on to y'all. All right. After you log in, over on the right here, you see something that says client certificates. You can view whichever ones you have. It says I don't have any at the moment. So let's make a new one. Read the acceptable use policy. I'll leave that as an exercise to the reader. You can decide which email addresses you want on it. And you can decide which one you want it to be signed by. I'm just going to do class one at the moment. And you can decide to include your name or not. If you really want, you can actually generate a certificate signing request. We're not going to do that for the client certificate because we'll do that for the server certificate. Then you just click Next. And what it will do is it'll come up here and say what key size do you want? 2048, 1024, 1024. Just leave it on whatever. Hit Create Certificate Request. Not sure why it did that. All right, here we go. And it says generating a private key. This may take a few minutes. Please wait.
Are you attaching this to several email addresses that you own?
Yes. I specified the three email addresses they have for me and said put them all on there. All right. So it created the certificate. It says click here to install. Note it says if you're using Mozilla or Netscape, you will not be informed the certificate was installed successfully. However, you can go into the options dialog box to manage certificates and view if it was installed correctly. A little trouble with this last night, so let's hope this works. All right. Like I said, it didn't show us anything, but if we go in to view the certificates, now under your certificates, it says here I have a client certificate with my name on it. It's been signed by CA Cert. Now, what exactly can you do with a client certificate? Well, let me show you one thing. In addition to the normal password login that CA Cert has, you'll notice right under here it has something called Cert Login. The browser will present this client certificate for you as credentials, and if it's installed in your browser, then voila, immediately it comes up without you having to do a password. In addition, you can take this certificate now. You can export it. It says backup here. Let's back it up as backs it up in a special format. And you have to put a password on it. All right, now you can go into Thunderbird or any other email client and import this certificate into there and then use that to sign your emails. People who noticed on Brian's emails to the list, he signs it with an SSL certificate. So we go into here under privacy, security, view certificates. I don't have a client certificate, but I can import from the certificate that I just saved. So come up and ask me for the password. And voila, Now I have the certificate in Thunderbird, and I can use it to sign my email. You do that under, you do that under accounts. Account settings. That is correct. It is only good if the person who receives it, it treats trusts CA cert also. Click the certificate. It's under tell it to use it for both signing and encryption. That's under your account under security. And you can set it to specify automatically digitally sign or not. There are tutorials on the CA cert website for other mail programs. I know Mutt's on there. Somebody mentioned that. Okay, so that.
In Thunderbird, can you sign with both a certificate and a DCG key, or is one or the other?
I have not tried. I believe you would be able to do both.
Silly question. If you're using like Hotmail, Yahoo, can you actually take your client, pop it in through, and it doesn't matter how it gets there?
I mean,
Yahoo or Hotmail won't be able to see it or read it.
I haven't actually done much with Hotmail or Yahoo, so I can't answer that question. Gmail shows up as an attachment called smime.something7s. But there is a GreaseMonkey Firefox script to allow you to verify signatures and encrypt with X509 SSL certificates like this, but I'm not sure how maintained it is. All right, but that's client certificates. Let's see about server certificates. Now, for a server certificate is issued for a particular domain. And I worked this out with Kevin beforehand. We're going to attempt right now to set up Trilug. So you click Add Domain, click in trilug.org. Now, please choose an authority email address. Interestingly enough, alchemist@darkcanvas.com is listed as an address for trilug.org, probably because Kevin originally set it up. And it's probably on the whois, isn't it? It's probably in the whois? Okay. I'm going to do webmaster@trilug.org since I set that up to go to my account. And choose that, click probe, and what it will do is it will actually send you an email. It adds it to your system, but before you can issue certificates for it, you have to get an email and you have to respond to that email or click an appropriate link so that they know that you have something to do with that domain. So you can't just issue certificates for random domains because that would let you issue a certificate for anything, and that wouldn't let us verify the identity. So if we go over here, let's see if it came in yet. There we go, email probe. Click on the link here, and it says your domain has been verified. You can now start issuing certificates for this domain. Okay, so let's go over here. See, server certificates. Let's click a new one. All right. You'll read the acceptable use policy again. Let's do this class one. And then it says paste your CSR below. What exactly is a CSR? Well, that's a good question on the wiki. A CSR is a certificate signing request. Basically, a certificate authority doesn't keep your private key. You have to keep that secret. So when you create a private key, it creates a CSR file, and that gets signed by the CA cert authority and turned into your public key. And right here, it actually gives you directions on how to do this with OpenSSL. Just give this one command here. Let's go over here. All right, so you want to make sure that this is very well protected, because if someone finds your private key, you're pretty screwed. All right, so it asks you to fill out a bunch of information, country code, U.S., actually, state is not Raleigh. Well, actually, it doesn't really matter. And I'll show you why in just a minute. What does matter is the common name. All right? And we're going to do here www.trilog.org. And the email address, we'll give it here as webmaster@trilog.org. We're not going to set a password or an optional company name. All right, now, you'll notice here you have a private key. This will be the one and only time that people can see the private key. But here is the server.csr. This here, where it says begin certificate request, that's what you want to paste into that box. So highlight that. Come on over to the website here where we paste your CSR below. And then submit.
Can they give you a way to revoke the search request?
What, sorry?
Can they give you a way to revoke the search if you need to?
Yes. All right. Note that it says, please make sure the following details are correct before proceeding any further. Common name, www.trilog.org. It says no additional information will be included on certificates because it cannot be automatically checked by the system. So since they can't automatically check your state, your city, your organization name, they just punt and don't include it. It's okay. The most important part is the website name, so that is included. Hit submit. And we wait again, and voila, here's our server certificate. This is our public key. Copy that. Call it server.crt. And yeah, there we go. Now we have our private key. We have our public key. And we don't really need the certificate signing request anymore. So that's how we get a certificate. We already went over using a client certificate. Let's see how we use the server certificate. Now, actually, Trilog should have SSL up and running. But you'll notice that it says this was signed by the Trilog Root CA. The former Trilog Root CA, unfortunately, suffered a catastrophic disk erasure when we moved from our old server to our new server. So it doesn't actually exist anymore. That's one reason we want to replace the certificate with one done by CA Cert, because while this still works, we can't actually generate any more certificates in case this one expires. Well, okay, it doesn't expire until 2013, but you get the point. So, if we accept it temporarily and bring it up, all right, it's not set up, but at least you see that it does SSL. Let's try and go in here now. And modify the SSL configuration. Notice that we're on port 443, which is the standard port for SSL. And down here, the most important part is SSL engine on. You set up leave all this as default. But then here we have certificate file, and then the private key file, and then any other chain that you might need. We might, in our case, need the certificate authority, since I'm not sure if Apache has it by default. Actually, this is Debian, so it should be in there. So the two things we need are the certificate file and the private key file. Right now, they point to etc SSL certs httpd.crt and httpd.key. All right, so make sure to replicate the permissions here. All right, so what I've done here is root has full permissions on these. Anything in the SSL group has read permissions. And let's actually rename it to be something more descriptive instead of just private key, ca cert private dash key. This is entirely optional. All right, so screen. Did I get that one right? Can people actually read this? Okay, so we've now changed to point to the certificates that we just did. Let's restart Apache. See if it complains at us. Let's go ahead and actually exit out of the web browser so that we know that we aren't caching the SSL certificate. Now, either it's taking a long time or else we're getting an error. No, the certificate did not have a password on it. Let's see here. It apparently just took a long time. And if we now change to HTTPS, ta-da, it comes up, and it didn't ask us for information.
Hey, who took our website? Call the FBI.
massive security breach.
Actually.
Now, where's the one that look for page info? All right, does anyone know where the... Signed, we look down here, it says signed by root CA. So we have successfully installed the CA certificate into a package. Now, hopefully the new sysadmin committee that's going to be instantiated will be able to replicate the website on here also. All right, so I believe that's using your certificate. And that's all I had. So if anybody has any questions, we can go ahead and answer them now. As soon as we're done, like I said, we're going to be in the back here. Line up orderly, please. And we will check your ID. And you can make sure you sign your form beforehand and give it to us with your ID. We'll check your ID, hand that back, keep the form, and then you go to the next person and do the same thing. You were first.
Okay, I called GoDaddy. We had a long, drawn-out conversation. They told me the only way the certificate worked because I was in the process of giving my credit card number, you have to have a static ID. Is he just trying to sell me a static ID?
No. The way that SSL works, you can, there is one way you can do, it must be associated with a host name. So as long as you can get to the host name, and then, and you can do it. But the way that the credentials are presented first, you can't have multiple different domains secured with SSL on one machine with one IP. So that's what it is. If you wanted to have www.trilog.org and www.ncsysadmin.org, which are both on the same machine, they both cannot use SSL because of the fact that you go to the you look it up and you get presented the certificate before or you start the SSL connection. And if you presented the certificate, it's before Apache knows which one to go, before Apache gets the HTTP request telling it which website you want.
Unless you use a different port.
Unless you use a different port, yes. Or if you use a wildcard certificate, you can do that. But in that case, with ncsysadmin.org and trilog.org, you'd have to have a wildcard certificate that just said star. And I don't think that, yeah, you could have star.trilog.org and go that way. Rick had a question.
Yeah, so the people that who get enough points to be assurers now, is there a delay before they can become assurers?
The only delay is until we actually go back and process everything, which hopefully we can do that tonight.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we can get assured by the new assurers. Those of us who are already assured by the existing assurers.
That is correct. So Rick here has the problem. He's already been assured by all three of us. So if he wants any more points, he has to either assure other people himself.
Because
you're not assured.
90 points.
Okay. Then he needs to be assured by one other person. Jason Faulkner, you had volunteered to assure people. Come meet Rick afterwards.
Yeah. And I'm welcome. I'm
not sure if he's between the election or not.
Any other questions in the back there?
You mentioned at the beginning that the CA
can we be quiet back there? I can't not hear. Can somebody grab a mic? Sorry about that.
Testing.
You mentioned earlier that the CA cert root certificate is not pervasive as far as...
That is correct, yes.
Does that mean that if you create yourself a server certificate, it's not necessarily going to help you if Joe Blow comes to your site? He's not going to get certified.
That is correct. If just random Joe Blow comes to your site, you would need to include instructions on your site for him to tell him how to install the certificate in his browser. But he will get an error like that says, do you want to accept the certificate? And they can then go on and it'll still encrypt the traffic, but you won't necessarily get the full verification that you would if you trusted the CA cert. CA cert is actually much more useful for an association like ours where we have the mailing list, we can tell people if you want to access our mail server or our web server, or whatever, you need to go install the root certificate beforehand. So in that case, it works ideally. But for a random, like an e-commerce site, if you have an e-commerce site, you go buy a regular certificate until it's in all the browsers. Over here and then over there, you've... Yes, good.
Suppose you have a
raw
machine with
20
different IP addresses at it.
If you have two IP addresses, you could then have each one with a different SSL domain name on it, yeah. In the back? Yeah.
Okay, is your email address or domain encoded somehow into your private key or anything?
For the client certificate, yes. It encodes the email address in it. If you'll notice on mine, I had to encode three email addresses, so it's not just limited to one. For the server certificate, the host name is encoded into it, and you can do aliases, although that gets a little more esoteric. So, right here and then over here. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so for Debian, you probably need to import it into Firefox, but for Apache, we didn't need to set it up.
Okay, the situation is I have a almost static IP address. What I do is I have a NAT router that has the IP address. I have that.
Do you use something like DynDNS for it?
Absolutely. And they said whenever my IP changes, let's say a third of a year from now.
No, actually, as long as you can get to it from the host name is... Right. That's what it requires. A forward DNS, not a reverse. All right.
Yes, Anna. I couldn't find any photo ID except for my driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
I do have my ham license.
All right. Like I said before, if you only have one photo ID and one non-photo ID, then we're assuring you at a slightly lower level of points, but still so that you're fully assured. So that's fine. And a ham radio license is a government-issued ID, so that's fine. We can work on that.
I think he was born.
All right, any other questions?
Also recently.
All right, last question from John here.
Can you discuss the advantages and disadvantages of using a wild card in your domain name? And also, have you tried using SSL with different ports?
Well, using an SSL cell on different ports is like using it on different servers, because you run a different Apache instance on each port, it automatically knows which certificate to look up. Having a wildcard, there are pros and cons about it, and it's actually been a couple of years since I've run one, and I've completely forgotten what all the pros and cons are. Some people swear by them, and some people swear at them. And if you do a Google search, you'll find both very, very strong opinions on it.
I think I'm leaning more with wild cards these days. I set mine all up with static ones,
mm-hmm.
and I have people who don't like to use the www, and then they always get the, this was not issued in the particular
web. Right, yeah, and so that can be a problem. What I did on mine, I actually, a couple years ago, went out and bought a certificate. And I set it to be just my domain name minus www or anything. So, all right. So, thank you for coming. Anybody who wants to be assured, and we hope that you do, come on back here and line up. One quick announcement. We still have to announce the results of the election. But one custom we've had for the last, I guess, year or so. Is something called Tri-Chug afterwards, and some of us were suggesting that this time, we normally go over to Sammy's, that we try a new bar called, by a local person here, Culture. So, yeah, at 430 South Dawson Street. So if anybody afterward is interested in coming out and hanging out and talking more about this over a few drinks, come join us at Culture. And I will be in the back in just a few minutes, and Kevin and Brian are already there. and I believe they want to announce the election to you. So thank you very much.
All right, the long-awaited results of our annual, sometimes monthly, Trilogue elections. Your new steering committee is Jason Tower, Cristobal Palmer, Matt Fry, Rick DeNatale, sorry, Rick, and John Broom. Thanks, everybody. I think just to, I'd like to thank everybody who volunteered to run in this year's election. I know it takes guts, and I know it takes the commitment to, even though you're not in the steering committee, it still takes the commitment up front to say, I'm willing to put the year on the line for Trilogue, and I appreciate that. I'd like to thank all of you for being here and for participating in the elections. And let's introduce, I guess, have the new members stand up. Matt Fry, he's left. He had to leave early. Rika, John Broom, back there, Cristobal, Rick, and Jason, who's not here. Thanks, everybody. Oh, and those who are interested in GPG signing, we're going to kind of gather up here towards the front since they're going to be assuring back there and as the CA cert. Thank you. The CA cert forms are sitting back on our donations table. Please feel free to drop a couple of bucks in. We did have a sponsor tonight. Thank you, ECU. But sometimes we don't, and we are a donation-driven organization. Thanks. Oh, and those who are interested in membership forms, we have those up here in the front as well.